If you'll turn to Mark chapter 11, I'll start off there. We're going to jump around today to a lot of scriptures, more than usual, maybe 7 or 8, but I'll go slow. So for those of you who like to follow from the Word, you'll be able to. Mark chapter 11. Before we go, let's pray. Lord, the question was asked this morning, reckon you'll be with us today. And it was just a joke because we know you will. You always have. It's an amazing thing, the way you've treated us and the way you've done us. And the way you've taken us from sinful lives and put us in a place where you could kind of halfway approve of us. And we thank you for that. We know we'll never get there to where there won't be something about us. Because you call what we've got an infirmity, that evil thing that's within us, Paul says. And Lord, we realize that. And we know we'll never be perfect. There's no way. But Lord, we can try to be as good as we can and to learn about you so we'll know what to do and what not to do. Lord, make us understand the truth that we hear from you and not all this information that's bouncing around all over the world coming from people that some of them don't know you and some of them know you and really don't care. So Lord, teach us today that we may understand. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There's something that just came to my mind. I didn't have it as part of what I was going to talk about. We all need to be filled with God's Spirit all the time. But there's some times when it's just more important than others. It's those times when we have something real challenging in front of us. And we can say, Lord, forgive me for my sins and please fill me with your Spirit. Because it says in my Bible that that's exactly what he'll do. And we need that. Regardless of how well we know of that, we need it. We've been talking about prayer the last several weeks. And I've got some more to talk about this morning. Prayer is one of the few tools we were given by God to deal with our ministry here, to deal with our relationship with God, to be able to understand anything about a God who says, my ways are as far from your ways as heaven is from earth. How then can you know them? And the fact is, if God doesn't tell us what his ways is, we won't know. We can't guess it, and you can't reason it in your mind. So we have to depend on him to tell us. And we have to try to keep from sinning so he won't turn his face from us and not keep telling us. We need to stay in good with him if we can, because he says it's our sin that makes him turn his head away from us. We don't want that. Kind of like being out of whack. I meant to look up that. I don't know exactly what it means, but I don't want to be out of whack with God. I know that. But we all know that in our prayer life, it seems like folks in prayer are kind of like folks at a dove shoot. If you've ever been to a dove shoot, there's some folks that'll shoot 100 shells, and they'll get 10 birds. Because they shoot at every black dot that flies over them. They don't know whether it's a dove or not. They just throw up and bang away at it just to hear the gun go off. There are other people that will kill just as many birds and won't shoot hardly any because they don't aim at What they don't know is a dove, and they don't pull the trigger unless they figure they got a chance of hitting it. That's the way our prayer life ought to be. Now, there's going to be times, folks, and you know it as well as I do, when we're going to pray about stuff we ain't got a clue about. But we still pray about it, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think in our prayer lives, in order to build our faith, we need to have answered prayer. And in order to have answered prayer, we need to pray more accurately. There are some prayers that seem unanswered. And they're humanly impossible to figure out why. We just don't know. Why some of them don't work. And you've been there, and I've been there. But we don't need for our prayers not to be working simply because we don't understand what the Bible says about praying. We don't need to be constantly making mistakes about our prayer life. I can just see God shaking his head at me and saying, boy, you won't ever learn, will you? And I don't want to be one of those guys. I don't. I would like to be mature about what's going on with God and his business. If we look at Mark chapter 11 and verse 22, Jesus was talking to his disciples. It said, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. That's what Jesus said. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. There's a promise. Therefore I say unto you, verse 24, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now I took that pretty much probably like some of you might take it. Oh, God's promising me whatever I want, I'll have. No, I had to learn. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, whatever I want, when I tell you to do it for me, you can do it. Whatever it is. And what I had to learn is when God wants that mountain moved, he can tell me, I need that mountain moved, you move it. And all I got to do is speak the words, and that mountain will move. He's never needed a mountain moved close around me. So he's never told me to do that. But he's making a point here that it doesn't matter. Whatever he wants us to do for him, we can do whatever it is if we will believe that we can do it. When we get the message from him and we believe that, we need to know that we can do it. Pray according to your faith. That's what he said. Up there, have faith in God. Well, how much faith? He doesn't say. He says you can move a mountain in another place with as much as a grain of a mustard seed. Now, mustard seed in the scriptures is one of the smallest things in the world. They didn't have microscopes back then. So he's saying when you've got the smallest amount of faith, you can move a mountain if I tell you to do it. James 1:6 says, if a man prays with doubt, let not that man think that he shall receive anything from God. Do you pray with doubt? Well, then pray and ask God to take that doubt away. Because with doubt, you're not going to get your prayer answered. And we need to pray according to our faith. Now, there's no point in me asking God to cause me to save the world. It ain't going to happen. I know that. If that's what he wanted, I probably wouldn't have enough faith to get it done. Because this thing of faith is kind of like riding a bicycle. The more you ride a bicycle, the better you get at it. And the more you play cops and robbers as a kid, the better you get at it. And the more wrecks you have, the smarter you get at it. But a lot of it's according to experience. So try to pray in God's will with the faith that you have. You know what faith you've got. You know what you can be trusted to believe and what you can't. There was a story about George Washington Carver, that black college professor, born a slave in Missouri. He got out of slavery. He and his mother were kidnapped and brought to the South and sold back into slavery. And he wound up at Tuskegee. His own story is that he asked God, "Why did you make the world?" God said, "That's too big for you, George." So he studied about it for a bit, and he asked God again, "Well, then, okay, if the world is too big for me, why did you make man?" He said, God told him, "George, that's still way too big for you." So he studied about it for a good while then, and he came up and asked God, "Well, Lord, why did you make the peanut?" And God told him, "George, that's just your size." George Washington Carver went into the lab at Tuskegee University and created 300 new things you could do with a peanut. Because that's what God wanted. And that's what we need to do. We don't need to be careless with our prayers. Praying is the biggest tool we have. It's the most important tool we have as a Christian. You can get all kinds of things done through God with your prayer if you'll just pray. And besides that, the more you pray, the more you'll learn about God. And we all need that. Now look over, if you've got that page open, look over at Mark 11 and verse 25. Now look at this. "When you stand praying," Jesus says, "forgive if you have anything against anybody, that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Now, folks, that's a lot bigger than it sounds. It's talking about being out of whack. Do you know all I've got to do to be out of whack with my God is to have a grudge against somebody and think about it and not get it out of my mind? Can you remember somebody you don't like? Nobody else maybe even knows it, but it's up there in your head, and God knows it, and God doesn't like it, and God is not dealing with you like he needs to because you're letting it stay up there. I was taught in my early 30s at a Bill Gothard seminar that I cannot do anything for God as long as there's people out there who's got something against me. So I need to go back to everybody I remembered getting crossways with and ask them for their forgiveness. And I tried to do that. Until I got to the place to where really and truly I didn't know that there was anybody that I would look up and see on the street that I didn't think I had to go across the street and not walk by. And I'll tell you something. If you can get those people that you got problems with out of your mind by asking God to forgive you for having those feelings and try to catch up with them and tell them the same thing, it will give you a freedom to work for God that you've never experienced before. You cannot be a successful child of God and hate people. Can't do it. He just can't do it. He won't put up with it. So how many people go through life being born again and have no power whatsoever simply because they got somebody they don't like? I have seen people who carried lists in their pockets or in their purses of everybody who had ever offended them because they didn't want to forget in case they had a chance to get them back. That's the truth. Can't nobody like that get along. You just can't, not with God. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Now this is one right here who gets folks. It got a lady I had in my class about 30 years ago, but it backfired on me. I thought I was doing some good, and the way she understood it, she threw it right back in my face, and I wasn't doing any good at all. Chapter 5 of Matthew and verse 23 says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar," you know what that means? He's coming to church. "And there remember that thy brother hath anything against thee." See, it's not talking about you got something against him. It's talking about he's got something against you. "Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift." I've got written in the margin of my Bible, God says, "I don't want your money, I want your heart." Don't try to pay your way out of anything. God said, "I don't need your money." I like that scripture in Psalms when it says, what, the beast of the forest are mine and the fowls of the air. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And nobody ever preaches that next verse. I don't know why. They all preach that verse right there, that he's got everything. But the next verse says, "If I got hungry, I wouldn't call you." God don't need our money. We give our money to God so we can get a blessing out of it, so it'll help us, not him. Others come before church. You know that? God is more concerned with your horizontal relationships with other people, because if the horizontal relationship is not right, your vertical relationship is not going to be right either. You got to get along with people, what he's saying. Don't think you can come to church because, and then you've been talking all last week about sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so and what a sorry booger he is, and think that if you come to church it's going to raise your problem. It's not going to do it. God wants us right. And he wants our hearts clean. Others come before our worship, according to God. And there's something else here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. If anybody's got their Bible open, you guys need to look at this especially, because it's talking to you. And you know, I've tried to turn this around and make it reciprocal, but it's not. It can't be. This verse right here cannot be talking about the wives. It got to be talking about the husband. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, "In like manner, ye husbands, dwell with them." Who is them? Your wives. "Dwell with them according to knowledge." See, a Christian man can't say anymore, "Oh, there's no way you can understand women." He can't make that statement because God just took that away from him right there. He says you're going to have to deal with women in knowledge. So there is a way. "Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." You want your prayer not to work? Leave the house mad with your wife. Oh, God wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, He will. He says it plain. That doesn't take a seminary degree to be able to interpret that right there. He says it plain. Now, let me tell you this. That verse does not say your wife is a weaker vessel. In a good day, my wife has picked me up around the waist and carried me across the dance floor in front of all my friends and embarrassed me to death. My wife is not a weaker vessel. That's not what it says. And I said that one time in this church, and a woman put on the, what do you call it, the Facebook, internet. She didn't care what the Bible said. She wasn't a weaker vessel. Well, what this is saying is this. It says I'm supposed to treat my wife like a weaker vessel. That's what it says. Amen. Now, what that word weaker means is more fragile. That's what it means. I heard an example one time of it, of the difference between an expensive china cup and a truck stop mug. You can drop them both on the concrete and see which one bounces and see which one shatters all to pieces. That's what he's talking about. We need to treat our wives, guys, like weaker vessels, no matter how smart or strong or anything else they are. Because you know this point, and God does too. That me and you guys can get into it and be fighting and bloody on each other, get up, catch each other around the shoulder and go get a cup of coffee and be joking an hour later. Women folks can't do that. You have an office full of ladies, let two of them get into it and they'll be into it for 2 years. That's what I'm saying. They see things differently and we've got to treat them that way. And a man needs to protect his wife. God intends for him to. Protect him from the next door neighbor. When he comes over and says, "I got something to tell you. Your dog has come over and torn my rose bushes up again, and I am sick and tired of it." And you can tell him, "Ladies, hold on. My husband will be home at 5. Take it up with him and shut the door." You're not supposed to have to take it. The man can take that stuff. You know, ladies, you've seen it when you get so mad because your husband just seemed to fall off his back and it made you so mad you couldn't stand it. That's the way we're made. So protect your wife. If you don't protect your wife, God says your prayer is going to be hindered. In 1 John, just a few pages over to your right, chapter 5 and verse 14. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. You got so far? And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now, I like to turn that phrase around. You want your prayer answered? Sure. Everybody does. So if you want your prayer answered, you need to know that God is going to hear your prayer first. If He doesn't hear it, He can't answer. And if we don't pray in His will, He won't hear it. Now that's part of this other thing we're talking about praying in God's will. Well, wait a minute. There are prayers that I make that I don't know what God's will in the matter is. No, you will pray prayers like that, but you can't hold God to something that you don't know. Especially when you're praying for other people. Because God is not going to impose Himself on other people's will. He's not going to do it. He's not going to make them do what you want them to do just because you want them to do it. It don't work that way. John 14, verse 13 and 14. Says if we pray in the name of Jesus, that we'll get what we want. That's not just tacking on that thing, and I ask these things in Jesus' name, amen, on the end of our prayer. That's not it. You can't steal Jesus' credit card and go buy stuff with it legally. You can't do it. And just because you use His name don't cover you. What I'm talking about is praying for things that you know Jesus wants just like you do. A fellow told me one time, if you can figure out what Jesus wants and you ask for it all the time, every prayer you pray will be answered. That's the way it works. But you see, we don't do that. We get started off and we start praying for what we want. And Jesus is not going to change the world just to suit us. He's not going to do it. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Now here is a statement, probably the only one as exhaustive explanatory in the Scriptures that says the same thing that it does. In verse 26 of chapter 8, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. What is our infirmity? The evil that is within us. Because we're evil, because we're born evil, and we're still going to sin, we're living in this flesh, and we're going to do things that we ought not to do. And the evil that's in us is going to keep us from knowing exactly what to do every time. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There's a lot of reasons your prayers and my prayers won't get into the throne room and won't be heard by God. And one of them is because God can't look on sin and we're sinful. So the Holy Spirit has got to grab every one of our prayers, make sure that it will get into the throne room, carry it there Himself, and present it to Jesus. Then Jesus looks at it and turns to the Father and says, God, what do You want me to do about this matter? The prayer is wanting to know. And God tells Jesus, Jesus tells the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit tells us inside this is what you ought to do about what you're praying about, then I've got a choice. I can either do what Jesus wants me to do, or I can do what I want to do. And so many times, I win out. And that's not something that's good for us. So the Holy Spirit does our praying for us in a way that God and Jesus will understand what we're asking for. See, the Holy Spirit knows me because He's inside of me, and He knows God and Jesus in heaven too. So He's the only interpreter we've got. So He has to make it right for what we say. I may not want to turn here, but in Psalms chapter 66, there is a little statement there. In all those Psalms, there's a little statement about our praying. Verse 18. We've got to live in a state of forgiveness. Well, how many times do you have to ask forgiveness, Mr. Joe? Once a week? Once a day? Now, all day, every day, I do. But I might be a lot worse than you are. But it says in 66 Psalms and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now what that means is this. There's a bad thought comes in my heart, in my heart. And I don't get rid of it. As long as I leave it in there and know that it's bad and know that it's in there, and I'm just petting myself, oh, woe is me. I get the mully grubs. God won't hear me. God won't hear me. So I can't have pity parties. I've got to get a bad thought. When I know it's a bad thought, I got to get it out of my mind and get it out quick. Because the whole time it's in there, God's not going to hear my prayer. And then the last one today we'll look at is Proverbs chapter 21. Verse 13. Whoso stoppeth his ear at the cry of the poor, he himself also shall cry out, but shall not be heard. What does that mean? It means maybe that I walked by a guy today and he said, could you help me buy breakfast? And I don't give him that $5 I got in my pocket. Then when I need some money, it don't matter whether it's $5 or $5 million, I can ask God, how about helping me out on this? Nope. You wouldn't help that person that needed it, so I'm not going to help you now when you need it. Did you know that being stingy could keep your prayers from being answered? It can. And there it is, right out there in front. Whoso stoppeth his ear, puts his fingers in his ear, won't listen to the cry of somebody who has a need, when it's time for you to cry out because you have a need, God won't help you. Well, I didn't know that. That's the very point I'm bringing up all this today, so that we'll watch our prayer life and not pray amiss, not pray for something that God's already said He's not going to do. So we pray with faith. We believe what we ask for. We pray with a forgiving heart. We pay attention to others. He says a Christian is known by his love. We pray in God's will. We pray with something that Jesus wants too. The Holy Spirit's going to take our prayers and make sure that they get into heaven where God can hear them. Because He says if He hears them, we'll get what we ask for. We can't leave bad thoughts in our mind and expect a lot of help from God. It just doesn't work that way. And being stingy, not going to work either. So there we go. I used to have a sheet with prayer hindrances on it. It was a quick little thing. I mean, you could read it real quick and keep it there where you pray and find out whether or not you were praying out of whack or not. But I think the people in this group are probably mature enough to be able to figure that out. But I'm going to tell you this, the Holy Spirit will make you feel weird if you're asking for something you're not supposed to ask for. You'll feel it. You just got to be particular and watch for it. And understand that the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about something. I have been standing in front of people teaching them and say something that I shouldn't have said and don't even know what it was and feel so embarrassed I had to just stop and apologize to everybody and say, whoa, 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 I just said something that I'm not supposed to say. And I don't even know why I'm not supposed to say it, but please forgive me for it. And then I was clean to go ahead and do. I don't want to stand up here and be responsible for telling you stuff that is not true. I want to be accurate with everything that comes out of my mouth. I want it to be the truth of Jesus Christ. I don't want it to be my opinion, because really, truly, if I'm going to be a slave of Jesus Christ, which is what the scripture interpreted means, then I don't have an opinion. Slaves have the opinion of their masters. They don't have their own opinion. And we're in a day and time when everybody's got an opinion and they want everybody to hear it. You turn on a news channel, and they've even said, what do you think about that? Here's our Facebook. Why don't you text us and tell us what you think? I call that pooled ignorance. It's when more than one people don't know or telling their opinion. And you hear it a lot. I believe in a Sunday school class, there ought to be one person who is called by God to teach. I don't believe in taking a scripture and passing it around the table to find out what everybody thinks about it. There should be one person in that room that God has given the responsibility to tell everybody else what his idea about that scripture is. Then it's left up to us who hear and learn to decide what we're going to do about it. And that's the way this thing works. So today, take your prayers very seriously, because they're the biggest tool we got. They're bigger than a D9 bulldozer, because it takes it a long time to move a mountain. And we can speak to that mountain, it'll slide off in the ocean in 5 seconds, if God needs it done. You yourself know of things that God has caused to happen because he asked you to be a part of it, that just blows your mind. So be careful when you pray, that it'll be responsible praying, that God will listen to it, that he'll hear it, and he'll answer your prayer. Let's pray. Father, please teach us. Please teach us how to do in a way that will suit you. Don't just let us flounder around out there doing all kind of crazy stuff. Keep us right with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.